This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Tuesday, June 27th of 2023. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, Colorado has appointed its first full-time Colorado River Commissioner. We'll hear from the newly appointed official about the work ahead. H2O Radio is taking a break this week. Instead, we'll hear from Colorado Senator Michael Bennett about how a recent rafting trip on the Dolores River gave him a new perspective on conservation legislation. And we'll go to our listener comment line. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have an update from the BBC News headlines. Then it's How on Earth. This week's science show will explore the biomechanics of how to improve your sitting, walking, or running postures. At 9 a.m. comes another archival recording of the wit and wisdom of Alan Watts. Then at 9:30, Joanne Cole will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead, but first it's time for the headlines with KGNU's John Kellen.
Aurora police have released five new videos of the June 1st police killing of 14-year-old Jordell Richardson. The videos made public yesterday show events from several different angles, but based on reporting by the Denver Post, they don't seem to shed new light on the teenager's death. Aurora police officers chased Jordell Richardson after responding to calls about threats against a convenience store employee. Two officers pursued Richardson into an alley and tackled him to the ground. One of them shot the teenager after seeing what he said looked like a pistol. It was later revealed to be a pellet gun. The killing of Jordell Richardson has been met with outrage from the community, and his family is demanding the resignation of the Aurora police chief. The case remains under investigation. Anderson Lee Aldrich, the only suspect in the mass shooting that took five lives at an LGBTQ+ nightclub in Colorado Springs last year, will spend life in prison for those crimes. KZNU's Colette Zarnicki reports.
An El Paso County judge sentenced the shooter responsible for the Club Q massacre to five life sentences and more than 2,200 years in prison yesterday. Aldrich, who was subdued and detained at the scene by Club Q patrons, pleaded guilty to murder and was sentenced to five consecutive terms in prison without possibility of parole. Aldrich also pleaded no contest to two counts of bias-motivated crime, which was part of the plea agreement and is similar to a guilty plea. Survivors and members from the LGBTQ+ community filled the emotionally charged courtroom. Some were able to talk at the podium near Aldrich, who was handcuffed, where they told stories of their experiences handling the death of loved ones. Five people were killed and 17 wounded in the November 19, 2022 attack. Some observers think that Aldrich, whose defense attorney says identifies as non-binary, pled guilty at the state level to avoid the death sentence at the federal level. El Paso County District Attorney Michael Allen said Aldrich could still face federal prosecution. For KGNU, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
First responders in Boulder are receiving active shooter training this week. The Daily Camera says the training began at Arapahoe Ridge High School yesterday and continues tomorrow. Police and firefighters from Boulder, Lafayette, CU Boulder, and Erie are taking part, along with members of the Boulder County Sheriff's Office. The training includes lectures and simulations. Denver Public Schools is appealing a judge's decision requiring them to make public a recording of a closed-door meeting last March when they decided to bring armed police officers back into city's schools. KGNU's Steve Miller explains.
The judge's finding last week found that the board's executive session on March 23rd violated Colorado law. The Denver Post reports that on Monday, DPS appealed the judge's order of publicly releasing a recording of the Board of Education's five-hour closed-door meeting the day after a student shot and wounded two administrators inside East High School. The board had approved a memo that temporarily suspended a 2020 board policy banning armed police in schools. DPS feels that releasing the recording would do substantial injury to the public interest. Denver District Court Judge Andrew Luxon ordered to release the recording to a coalition of media organizations after finding that DPS violated state law by making policy decisions behind closed doors. After listening to the recording himself, Judge Luxon also found that the board did not properly give notice of the executive session. The news organizations that filed the lawsuit include the Denver Post, Chalkbeat, Colorado, Colorado Newsline, Fox 31, 9 News, and the Denver Gazette, Colorado Politics. For KGNU, I'm Steve Miller.
The Denver City Council has approved the designation of La Raza Park as a historic cultural district. The unanimous vote yesterday makes the park Denver's third historical cultural district. La Raza Park is in the city's Sunnyside neighborhood. The designation is meant to ensure its history and culture will be preserved. Beginning on July 6, the city of Boulder will offer residents vouchers to cover part of the cost of new e-bikes. The city is offering two types of vouchers, standard and income qualified. 200 vouchers are available starting next week, with a second round coming in September. They can be used at participating bike shops, but not for online purchases. Find out more at the city's e-bike incentive page at bouldercolorado.gov. The cities of Boulder and Longmont rank among the best places for bicycles in the United States. That's according to the cycling advocacy group People for Bikes, which unveiled its 7th annual city ratings this morning. Boulder placed number 4 in the medium-sized cities category, with Longmont at number 10 in that same group. Two other Colorado cities ranked in the small cities category. Crested Butte is at number 2, and Aspen is at number 7. Among the criteria used by People for Bikes are the quality of a community's bike infrastructure, like trails and bike lanes, and the commitment of city leaders to making their communities bicycle-friendly. Nearly 1,500 cities were considered in the rating. At the same time, a new study is underway looking at the feasibility and cost of a regional e-bike sharing system that would cover communities from Boulder to Westminster. The study is a collaborative effort between Commuting Solutions, Boulder B-Cycle, and local governments and businesses. The proposed system would allow users to check out an e-bike in one community and return it in another. The e-bike share region would also include Erie, Lafayette, Louisville, Longmont, and Superior. The public is invited to share opinions by filling out an online survey at commutingsolutions.org/bikeshare study. Highway 7 between Lyons and Allens Park is open to traffic again nearly 2 weeks after a massive rock slide forced its closure. The highway reopened Sunday, but the Colorado Department of Transportation made it official with a tweet yesterday morning. In today's weather, another hot one on tap for the metro area. The National Weather Service says it should be mostly sunny and breezy with temperatures in the 90-degree range. They call for a high of 95 in Denver, 91 in Boulder and Fort Collins, not quite so hot up in Nederland, where the high is forecast at 74 degrees. For KGNU, I'm John Kellen.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. The state of Colorado has appointed its first full-time commissioner to the Upper Colorado River Commission. The commissioner is expected to take a leading role in upcoming negotiations around the Colorado River and its water uses. KGNU's Jacob Agatston spoke with Commissioner Rebecca Mitchell yesterday.
So to start, Becky, what is your professional background and how did you get into Colorado Water?
Well, I've been working in Colorado Water for about 20 years. I have a technical background, graduated from Mines with both my bachelor's and master's. So I really come from the scientific standpoint and really focused on what works for the system. I have been the commissioner for the last 4 years, but really what this transition is about stepping away from another role, which I also held, which was the Water Conservation Board director. And I think it's such a critical time. That is why we have Colorado's first full-time Colorado River commissioner. And we're in the midst of negotiations on the river right now, really focusing on changing the direction that we've been going in and doing the right thing for Colorado and for the entire basin.
So you're stepping down from your other roles to focus solely full-time on the Colorado River crisis. Why did Colorado create this full-time position? And what do you expect to happen in the first year?
I think it's because we are in such a critical time. We have to start focusing on long-term sustainable solutions to managing the Colorado River. When you look at climate change coupled with overuse in the lower basin states, specifically of California and Arizona, the dynamics on the Colorado River have changed, and we have no choice but to do things differently, and that takes a full focus.
So what are some of the challenges that we face when it comes to Colorado water resource management?
The Colorado River is more stressed than it has been in the history of the modern West. Studies upon studies have shown we're in some of the worst drought that we have seen. And so when we talk about the decades of drought and the impacts of climate change and the reduction of snowpack and increased evaporative losses, the uses cannot stay consistent. We have to be able to respond to that. And so I really think it's changing the mindsets of the masses to make sure that we convince people that not only do we have to change the way we are doing business, but we have to be open to thinking about different ways of doing business, and that counting on something that is not there is not going to work going into the future.
What about working with farmers and ranchers to conserve more water and have sustainable farming practices? Will that be part of the negotiations?
I think we all have to be efficient with our water use, regardless of sector, but every solution needs to be on the table. And so how do we build systems and structure that still allow for food production and supplying food for the masses, but also figure out how do we respond to what Mother Nature is telling us?
There are a lot of people who want access to this water, this limited resource. How do you determine which party gets a stake in it over another?
Well, I think what's important is to lead by example, right? As we focus on this in Colorado, we try to hear as many voices as we can, whether that is the agricultural voices, whether it's the environmental voices, whether it's the indigenous voices, whether it's rural or urban. We try to hear all of those voices and take those to the table with us.
In the original Colorado River Compact, indigenous tribes were explicitly cut out of the deal. How are negotiations moving forward with indigenous tribes this time? And have you been a part of those consultations?
So there is a consultation that happens on the sovereign-to-sovereign basis with the federal government, the tribes. But we also have a sovereign-to-sovereign discussion with Colorado and the two Colorado Ute tribes, the Southern Ute and the Ute Mountain Ute, and make sure that we're bringing those voices to the table.
Last week, the Supreme Court decided against the Navajo Nation, saying that water rights are an issue for lawmakers, not for judges. Where do you stand on this decision?
I need to spend a little more time with that decision before I get to a comment level on that. I think you're exactly right. It just came out last week. And I think we need time to measure what the implications are of that decision.
Is there anything else you want to add that you think listeners should know?
I think I want us to continue to pay attention to what's happening. I think there's been a little bit of a reprieve that Mother Nature has given us with this last year's winter and the rains over the summer. But I want us to not forget how important this river is, not just to Colorado, but to the entire West and to those two countries, seven states, 30 indigenous tribes that rely on it. And so do not let one year take away the pressure that we need to do better.
I've been speaking with Becky Mitchell, the newly appointed Colorado River Commissioner. Thank you for taking the time, Becky.
Thank you so much.
For KGNU, I'm Jacob Agatston.
When the last Congress ended in early January, it left unfinished business. A bill introduced to conserve Colorado's Dolores River was heard by the Committee on Natural Resources, but never came before the Senate for a vote. Senator Michael Bennett, who has championed the legislation, has now reintroduced the bill in the current Congress. Bennett was recently able to raft the river for the first time and was joined on the trip by regional stakeholders who have worked for over a decade on negotiating the proposed legislation. KOTO's Gavin McGough spoke with Bennett about the trip and the status of the bill.
Hi, Senator Bennett. Thanks for talking with me today. To kick things off, could you just fill us in on the river trip and what it was like to be rafting the Dolores?
It was amazing. As you know, we've introduced a bill to protect the Dolores River with a national conservation area and special management area designation. It protects about 68,000 acres of public land. But that came after more than a decade of work with the local community, with ranchers, small business owners, county commissioners. And I had never actually been on the Dolores itself. I'd flown over it. This gave me the opportunity to be able to see some of the most beautiful, beautiful parts of it.
And, you know, seeing that this was your first time on the river, seeing it firsthand, did that change your perspective on this legislation? Did that change your understanding of the legislation at all?
It just, in a way, it made me more grateful for the leadership from the people from the local community who've worked on this for so long. It's hard. You can look at photos of this, and you can people can describe it to you, but until you're actually there, I don't think you can understand what a treasure this is, how majestic this is, and how important it is to protect it. But I think, you know, how you protect something matters a lot as well. In this case, that's because there are a lot of different folks that have interests. And that's what we were able to do with this bill, was basically keep in place existing uses, but prohibit some potential threats to the river in the future, like oil and gas drilling, for example, in the wrong places. And so I came away just thinking that this is one of the most spectacular stretches of river, stretches of public lands that I have seen in the state of Colorado, and I've seen every single inch of our beautiful state.
And could you just fill us in on the state of the legislation, where it stands in Congress right now?
It's been referred. We've had it referred to the relevant Senate committee for the Environment and Natural Resources here. And I think we're going to be working with Senator Hickenlooper, who's a member of that committee, to see if we can get it passed out of committee and then hopefully and move it to the Senate and get it through. You know, there aren't a lot of pieces of legislation that have this kind of bipartisan support from the ground up, but this is one. And I think for that reason, it ought to have a privileged path through here, but we'll just have to see.
Yep. And on that note, do you have a message to your fellow congressmen and women about this legislation and why it should be a priority?
Yeah, I do. I'd say a couple of things. One, that we should honor the kind of collaboration that underlies this bill. It's easy to say that we're living in a world where nobody can agree on anything. And the people here who negotiated this bill on the ground, in a spirit of trying to protect the Dolores River watershed for the future, for our kids and for our grandkids, they came together and they made important choices together. You know, I think that's different even than compromises. I think they made important choices together to put this NCA legislation together. That should be honored by Congress. And then I would say the second thing is our public lands are critical in the West to who we are as a people, to our culture, to our history, to our way of life. And for that reason, we should get it over the finish line.
And on that note of public lands, you've talked in the past about how this river is the lifeblood of these communities in this region. Will you expand on that a little bit? Kind of how do you see that idea of a lifeblood playing out in the region?
Well, it's literally true. And I can tell you that everybody I talked to could not have been obviously more happy with the snowfall that we've had and the rain that we've had, but they understand how fragile the entire Colorado River Basin is and that the future of the American West depends on our being good stewards, making reasonable choices, standing up for the people in the upper basin who have always sent more water down the Colorado River. You know, these are things that we're going to have to wrestle with in the days ahead, even as we enjoy the abundance of what we have today. And I hope that the the work of this bill can stand as a model for the kind of natural resources and public lands discussions we have to have as a state and as a region going forward.
All right. Senator Bennett, thanks for taking the time to chat with me today.
Well, thank you for your interest.
That was Colorado Senator Michael Bennett speaking with KOTO News about his recent trip on the Dolores River.
The U.S. Bureau of Land Management is investing $161 million to improve the health of 21 priority landscapes owned by all Americans across western states, including Colorado's North Park and the San Luis Valley, with a focus on ecosystem restoration and boosting the resilience of communities whose livelihoods depend on public lands. Eric Galatis of the Colorado News Connection has more.
The U.S. Bureau of Land Management is investing $161 million to restore public lands in Colorado and 10 other western states. Liz Rose with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership says after a long history of development, prolonged drought, and wildfires, BLM-managed lands need help. She believes the new money allocated for projects in North Park and the San Luis Valley will bring the biggest bang for the buck for ranchers, outfitters, and a host of other stakeholders.
These strategic investments in Colorado's wild and valuable landscapes makes Colorado a better place for hunting, fishing, recreating, and making a living.
Rose notes that public lands support surrounding communities by bringing millions in outdoor recreation dollars to local restaurants, hotels, and outfitters. The lands are also used to produce food and energy. The BLM has faced criticism in the past from some who would rather see states and local initiatives take the lead spending public tax dollars. But Rose says because the BLM manages more than 8 million acres in Colorado alone, there are advantages in federal coordination at scale. She adds the agency has an open and transparent process for getting input from people who have lived experience on these lands.
Locals or people with concerns about these specific projects will have the opportunity to talk to their local BLM field offices about the work that's going to be done, what needs to be done, and what issues might arise.
The agency will direct $11 million Inflation Reduction Act dollars to projects spanning 493,000 acres in Colorado to improve watersheds, make landscapes more resilient to wildfire and drought, restore fish and wildlife habitat, and create more opportunities for recreation. Rose notes this work is also critical for the iconic wildlife that call the North Park area near the Wyoming border home.
There is critical winter range and migration corridors for big game, as well as aquatic and riparian and wetland habitat. So investing in the habitat now means that that might be high value habitat for fish and wildlife for many years to come.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
We go now to our comment line to hear what's on the minds of listeners.
I really appreciate Alternative Radio with Norman Solomon in particular. And David Barsamian says, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, President Biden said, quote, journalism is not a crime. The free press is a pillar, maybe the pillar of a free society. Great words from the White House, to which Norman Solomon says, President Biden, like his predecessors in the Oval Office, loves to speak about the glories of the free press and say that journalism is a wonderful aspect of our society until the journalists do something he and the government he runs really don't like. A prime example is Julian Assange. He's a journalist, a publisher, an editor, and he's sitting in prison in Great Britain being hotwired for transportation to the United States. There is a nationwide action planned on July 3rd, which is Julian Assange's birthday. AssangeDefense.org is organizing this action on July 3rd, and the action is to get out to the streets, to raise awareness. Locally, you can find more information at the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center or call me at 303-210-5907. That's James at 303-210-5907. Thank you.
That's it for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host and producer, Shannon Young. Thanks to John Kellen, Colette Czarnecki, Steve Miller, Jacob Agatston, Alexis Kenyon, Gavin McGough, and Eric Galatis for their contributions to today's program. And a special farewell to news volunteer Colette Czarnecki, who is moving to Cortez to start a job at the local newspaper there next week. Congratulations, Colette, and thank you for spending your Tuesday mornings with us in recent months. Stay tuned for How on Earth, the KGNU Science Show. That's coming up after the BBC News headlines.